But I'll tell you, the worst time to lose that, to realize that you're losing your voice, if you're a preacher, is Saturday night. And I could have thrown Andrew under the bus this morning, but I thought, y'all, it's Pentecost. And so I just figured I was going to rely on the Holy Spirit this morning. So I apologize if you're a visitor. I was not out back smoking before the service was starting. This is not how I normally sound. And yet I thought I would push through it. And I'm very grateful for your patience this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. That's going to be on page 902, I believe, of the Bibles that are in the seats around you. Again, if you brought your own Bible, or if you're on a phone or maybe an iPad or something, that's 1 Corinthians 12. So it is Pentecost Sunday as you turn, and we're remembering this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples as we originally are reading about in Acts 2. And in light of that, it did seem appropriate for this morning to focus on one of our lectionary readings that's focusing on the Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. So let's pray now and ask that God would guide us. Let's pray. Father, we are always dependent on you. We are always dependent on your Spirit to speak, to illuminate. And Lord, we pray that this morning you would do that. Lord, please help me in my own weakness, and please do so in our hearts. Give us ears to hear as we turn to your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just a note as we get going here, as we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, I'm well aware of the fact that every week we have people here that are visiting for the first time. And I realize, depending on your own experience, if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, it is very possible you have heard a wide range of teachings about the Holy Spirit growing up. And there are extremes, aren't there? You've got on one hand the folks, and these are all jokes, by the way, I'm not attacking anyone. You've got your Frozen Chosen kind of end of the spectrum. These are those of us who grew up in communities, you say the words Holy Spirit, people immediately jump behind the pew, behind the hymnal. Okay, and then you've got what those people might joke among themselves are the charismaniacs. Okay, and they see people moving around during the service, and they can't tell if they're filled with the Spirit or if this is the first round of So You Think You Can Dance. Okay, everyone has different opinions on this. There's a range of feelings. At the same time, as different as those interpretations might be, as those emphases might be, I think it's fair to say this when it comes to most of them. Most of them normally talk about the Holy Spirit and the way that he applies to us as individuals, don't they? For most of us, how the Spirit applies to me personally, how I can be filled with the Spirit. Okay, what exactly are my gifts as a Christian from the Spirit? What does it mean for me as a Christian to bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, and so on? And at the same time, you look carefully in the Bible and you read about what the Holy Spirit does, and we're reminded this work that he does, and the Bible does use the pronoun he, this work the Spirit does is not just about us as individuals. Above all, this is about us as Christians, as a group, as a community, as the body of Christ, as the church. So we see this, for example, in this passage that we're going to be looking at from 1 Corinthians 12. In verses 4 through 13 here, Paul's going to show us that whenever we come to a group of Christians, these are people that have been changed by the Spirit, it is the kind of place, based on what the Holy Spirit does, where three things should be true. One, it should be a place where all are needed. Number two, it should be a place where all are needed, but not everybody's the same. And number three, along with those things, it should be a place where the people there have everything, or at least something specific in common. They all share something in common. We're not just talking about faith in Jesus Christ, but something else. We're going to think about that in a moment. Again, all three of these, all are needed, we see, because of the Holy Spirit. Okay, not all are the same, but all share something together. And when you come across a community like this, y'all, this is different from almost any other sort of community that you can look at. This is a community that where there's a dynamism about it. There is a degree of hospitality about it. It's also in a community, wherever you see these, that are unusually unified. So where are we getting those from? Am I just making those up because it sounds nice? Let's go to the text now and try to answer these together. Number one, because what happened at Pentecost on this day, because the work of the Spirit, the church is a place, y'all, Paul says, where all are needed. All are needed. I said just a second ago, we have probably heard, pardon me, a variety of teachings on the Spirit. If there is one thing that all Christians reading their Bibles can agree on, it is the fact that all Christians have some sort of a gift of the Holy Spirit. We have all been filled with the Spirit. We all have a gift of the Spirit, or what in verse 7 is called a manifestation of the Spirit. This is some sort of ability that we would not have if the Holy Spirit had not come and dwelt inside of us as we became Christians. This is something all Christians have. Now, again, in today's passage, we see this in two places. So one is in verse 4, where Paul's pointing out not all gifts are the same, which we're going to get to in a second. But notice first this language, this emphasis that he has, that everybody has them. He's talking about Christians. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. So there's no question, the Holy Spirit is empowering Christians in different ways at the same time. Everybody's been empowered. Did you notice that at the end of verse 6 there? Okay, it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now think about that language carefully. This is not saying of the few Christians for whom God has given gifts by the power of his Spirit, he's given them to all of them. He says that he empowers them for everybody, to all Christians. So we see it there in 4. Now look at verse 11, if you have your Bible with you. So he's been listing some of these different gifts. And then he says this, verse 11, all are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to who, we could ask ourselves, each one individually as he wills. Did you catch that? At the end there, he apportions to each one individually again. Everyone, each one has a gift according to his will. On a day like, or I should say a Sunday like today of this Memorial Day weekend, we are obviously remembering the fact that there are men and women giving of themselves, serving sacrificially right now in places all over the world. Now, imagine this for a second. Imagine that there's a unit of soldiers and they're stationed somewhere at a base that's in a really dangerous area, and they're asked to go out and to patrol the area miles around it in order to defend it and to provide it security. And you can imagine this unit of soldiers is made up of different people who, on one hand, they've all maybe been given or issued some sort of a standard weapon. Maybe they've all got a pistol of some sense. I don't know. And at the same time, they've all been given other equipment that is specific to the responsibilities that they've been entrusted with individually. So there's one soldier maybe who's got a special sort of radio, communications equipment for keeping in touch with the base. And then maybe you've got another soldier, and that soldier has been given the armored patrol vehicle. That one's in charge of driving them around as they're on patrol. Got another soldier. This one's a medic. And that soldier has got a specific kind of training. They've got all the supplies that are needed if anybody gets hurt. Now, there are three really important elements to that example. Okay, think about this. One, notice, everybody on the mission has got some sort of specific equipment. They've got the radio, they've got the truck, they've got the medical supplies. Two, when it comes to the things that they have and what they contribute to the group, these are things that were issued them. Okay, when they went to maybe enlist at the office down the road in their town square, did the officer look across the table and say, by the way, do you happen to own an armored patrol vehicle? No, I don't think this is gonna work out. No, that was given to the soldiers, just like the rest of these. Okay, and then number three, because of these, everyone in this unit is needed because of what they're specifically able to do, meaning everyone has value to the unit. No one in the group is irrelevant. They don't have a dividing line between the soldiers that matter and the soldiers that are kind of superfluous. They don't waste resources like that. There's an intentionality here. Everybody matters. And to go back to this passage now from 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says it is specifically, or it's very similar in the way that the Spirit works in Christian community. Whenever we find Christian community, there are similar realities and dynamics at work with the gifts that God's given Christians. So one, again, everybody's got a gift. Okay, everyone. No one was overlooked. It's not like someone was forgotten at Christmas, okay? Everybody has one. Two, the gift is something that, again, has been given. It didn't come up with it on our own. And then number three, it is something that is used for the good of the group, meaning each person is indispensable. Everybody's needed. That's one thing that Paul's showing us in this text this morning. Because the work of the Spirit in Christian community, every member matters. All are needed. Number two, Paul also shows us here in these verses, every member matters, and yet at the same time, not every member is the same. And we've already seen this in verses 4-6, because of what Paul's been saying about the nature of the gifts that the Spirit gives. Remember what he says. He uses these words here saying there are varieties, Damien read for us. Varieties of gifts, varieties of service, varieties of activities. Now, two really important things that we should point out about this as we walk through these verses, especially in verses 8-10. Well, let me actually read this. In verses 8-10, he lists several of these. So the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, the gift of faith, gifts of healing, prophecy, various kinds of tongue, goes on. And here's what we need to remember about that. I mean, number one, when it comes to these gifts, or what some people might characterize as more visible or demonstrable gifts of the Spirit, it does not seem that the New Testament claims that these gifts were all of a sudden supposed to stop after the early church. We don't see that anywhere. And that's why at St. Peter's, if you're visiting here, you should know we are a church that believes these gifts of the Spirit are still given today. And we're careful about that. We believe that they're to be stewarded carefully. We believe that they're always to be exercised in a way that's in accordance with scriptures and always in a way that's with the good of the body in mind. But we believe that they continue to be used. That's one important thing. Okay, another important thing about this list, when you go back and you look at those, think about how different these gifts are from one another. Some of them are like in entirely different categories from each other. I mean, think about, you got a gift of healing and a gift of faith. Some of us have experienced physical healing through prayer, through someone else. Okay, we've maybe had an encounter where someone seemed to have a unique gift like that, and God used it to his glory to heal our bodies. Okay, the healing of our bodies, that is just categorically different than someone having this sort of gift of faith and a deep, unshaking trust in God that on yes, on one hand, we're all called to have faith, but it seems unusual in this particular individual. This man or this woman has an extraordinary gift of it. And what that means, y'all, because these things are true, is when it comes to Christian community, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there is an inherent difference about it. Within itself, in the body of Christ, there's an inherent difference, meaning Christian community is meant to operate way less like, we could say, a crew team and way more like an orchestra. Okay, way less like a crew team. Think about a group of people rowing a boat out on a river doing this. I've never done crew. The closest I've ever come to is one of those horrible machines at the gym, the Erg machines that are just an instrument of torture. Don't ever do one. If you haven't done one, some of you are going to know, you're going to be able to see through this illustration and poke out holes. I'm sorry, I never did crew. But I will say, from an outsider's perspective, it seems like when it comes to crew, in one sense, it's got to depend on sameness, doesn't it? Now think about this. I know, yes, the coxswain's at the front of the boat yelling. Take the coxswain out of the picture. Everybody else, what are they doing? They've all got the same thing in their hand. They've got an oar. What are they doing with that oar? They are making the same motion, and they're making that at the same time, the same speed. That is totally different, isn't it, than an orchestra? Because an orchestra, it is not about sameness. It is about difference. It depends on difference. You've got 80 or more people that all have different things, basses, cellos, clarinets, flutes. In an orchestra, difference does not undermine the advancing of the group. Difference, okay, it is not a weakness, it is its strength. That's how it works. Can you imagine what it would be like to listen to 80 or more people all playing the flute at the same time, no matter how much you like the flute? Some of us know what that's like because we've been to recitals for third graders that are playing the recorder, and there's like 50 of them. Okay, and it doesn't matter how much you like hot cross buns or Three Blind Mice, it is not a thing of beauty, is it? And that's even if people are trained on the recorder. You could have 50 adults playing on the recorder. It is not, no offense to any recorder players in here, a thing of beauty. But you go to an orchestra where every instrument has its own design and its own function. And when it comes to that sound, that is a sound of depth. That is a sound of beauty. And again, what Paul is showing us here is that, y'all, it is the same thing when it comes to this thing that is the church, that is the body of Christ. All these gifts, on one hand, they're given by the same Spirit, and they're still inherently different. The varieties of them, and this is a big thing, the varieties are by design. The varieties are strength. And what's the big deal about that? We're going to think about that in just a second as we finish, after we come to this last observation that Paul makes for us. And that is, because of the Spirit, okay, not only are all needed and yet all different, at the same time, we've all got something in common. We've all got something in common when it comes to the Spirit, the gifts that we're given. We've got a common giver and a common purpose. A common giver and a common purpose. Common giver, we've already seen this in the text. Remember what Paul says in verse 8 about the dispensing of these gifts. It is an 8, according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, by the same Spirit. Verse 11 summarizes it really well. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So the gifts might be different, but what they do is they all bring us together by virtue of the fact that they come from the same source. That is the Trinity. I should say the third person of the Trinity, from the Holy Spirit himself. So they come from the same source or the same person. And then did you notice they're used for the same purpose? As Paul says in 7, To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And when Paul uses this phrase here, common good, he is talking out the building up of the body of believers, of the body of Christ, meaning spiritual gifts, above all, the gifts that are given, are not for the sake of us as an individual, the person that received them, but for the good of the body that they're connected to. That's why they're given. And so go back to the unit of soldiers. The radio is given, not just so John or Jane Smith can be safe in the carrying out of their responsibilities, or that they can be effective, so that the whole unit can be those things together, the whole group. Or you go back to the orchestra. Obviously, some instruments do sound amazing on their own. A cello can sound beautiful on its own. Still, isn't it true there is a sense in which a cello does not feel, at least for some of us, and I might be biased, like it's fulfilling its greatest purpose until it's playing with the other in concert with the other pieces of the orchestra. And again, Paul's saying it is the same thing when it comes to the church, and this is something that sometimes when we tend to forget, again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not above all given for us as individual believers and followers of Jesus Christ. They're not in their fullest given to us for our own personal relationship with God, our own experience of Him, but they're given to us for the sake of something that is really important and really good for us to remember in our culture. That number one, as Christians, y'all, we are part of something that is way bigger, way broader than us. And that's the body of Christ. We talked a lot about that with GAFCON, especially several weeks ago. If you're a member here, you're part of this body here. You're part of a global body that includes Anglicans. You're part of the worldwide church, the followers of Jesus. And two, this helps us remember, y'all, we are all commissioned by not a sergeant, or not, I don't know my military language well, but not my commanding officer. We are commissioned by the Holy Spirit, giving out these and apportioning these different gifts for the same reason, which is for the good of one another, doing and so in love. Or as Paul says in verse 7, for the common good. And if that's true, what that means is that because of the Holy Spirit, y'all, Christian communities should be a place of the deepest kind of unity. Now, Christians should be defined by a deep unity, not the other kind of, you hear people talk a lot about unity today. We're not talking about some sort of bland sense of unity, some sort of trite or superficial sense. And you know what I'm talking about? That's the sense where people seem to be getting really long together, really well. And then you realize that unity really all comes, it's the appearance of unity only. That unity is really coming from the fact that they all happen to be the exact same. It's not true unity. Okay, the kind of unity that Paul's talking about here in Christian community, y'all, this goes way deeper than that, because this is a unity that does not come through uniformity, it comes through variety. That's the unity that he's stressing. All because these different gifts being used for the same purpose, for the good of the body. So because Pentecost, everybody's valuable, everybody might be different, still everyone is empowered for the same purpose, among others, serving and loving one another. So what I want to do now is I want to wrap up making just two final observations as we think about this, because I know for some of us, we hear the sort of unity language especially, and we think, well, that's nice. That's kind of idealistic. Where's the rubber really meet the road for us as Christians in this? And let me just offer two practical applications of what we've just been looking at in these verses from 1 Corinthians 12, because it's true. Well, I should say, because these things are true, these verses, y'all, have something really important to show us about our own personal identity as followers of Jesus Christ, and also the identity of our churches. Let's think about that, and then we'll close. So one, our own personal identity. Let's think about how this affects us personally. Because if this is how the Holy Spirit works, he comes, he indwells us, he empowers us in unique ways. One thing that we've got to remember, y'all, is our identity as a Christian. Our identity can never be in our gifts. It always has to be in the giver. It can never be in the gifts. It always has to be in the giver. For some of us, the way that we see ourselves as Christians, it's got way less to do with what the Bible says is true about us because we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have the righteousness of Christ, that we've been united with him, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God, that he looks on us with delight and joy. We forget that. And what we do is we conceive of ourselves as we look around at the other Christians that are around us and we determine to what degree we measure up. Hey, anyone know about that? Am I the only one that does this? This is, y'all, this is what we do. We look at somebody else and we think, I could never be that person. You know, look at the way that person prays. Look at the amount that they pray. Look at how gifted they are at this their teaching, their faith that they have, the way that they can lead other people, the way that they invite other people into a deeper intimacy with Jesus. Now, here's what I want to say about this. This is important. On one hand, it's good to have other people, godly people around us that we aspire to be like. If you're a younger person in this church family, I'd like to think I'm a part of that group. We have other godly men and women that are older than us, y'all, setting an example for us of what it means to follow Jesus closely. That is a good thing. And at the same time, if we're not careful, what we can allow those comparisons to do, whether it's with someone that's older than us, y'all, it could be with someone that's younger than us, what we can allow those things to do is to define us and our sense of who we are. And when we do that, do you see what we're doing? What we're doing in that moment is we are allowing ourselves to be defined by our gifts rather than the giver himself. And the problem with that is, as long as we do that, y'all, you know this because you've heard us talk about comparisons, it's always a lose-lose because you look at somebody else and you think, wow, that person is so much better than I am. Or you think, wow, that person's, they're not as gifted as I am. I wonder how God's using them. When the reality is, when God was making us, when he was giving us a spirit in his infinite wisdom, let's say when it came to us compared to this other person that we might want to be like, in his infinite wisdom, as he gifted us, he thought it was a good idea not just to make another clone of that person, but to make you. I wasn't crying, I lost my voice. To make me. He was wise enough to do that. Okay, y'all, we've got to remember, other people have different gifts than us, and that is a good thing. That is not something to resent. That is something to be grateful for. And the reason that that is freeing and not crippling is because our identity, again, is not meant to be in our gifts themselves. They're meant to be in the giver. So that's the personal application. Let's just think about how this relates to us as our own church, as churches in general. There is a way in which what we've been reading about here, this dynamic, helps churches remain balanced, okay? We can remain more healthy. And the reason that it can do this is it helps us from creating communities, y'all, where there is an unhealthy, or what you could describe as almost an unbiblical preoccupation with a particular spiritual gift. Okay, so for some churches, this can happen with knowledge. This can, especially when it comes to knowledge of the Bible. And I say that, I'm a priest. I take very seriously the importance of sound doctrine and knowing and sitting in the Word of God. But there are some communities we know where that becomes the litmus test of maturity. Who's got it together? Who doesn't? Okay, in some communities, we elevate that gift even above the gift of love that Paul's warning us about. And then we've got other communities, and again, I'm just thinking about these kind of spectrums that we have when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You've got other communities where that gift happens to be speaking in tongues. That's the litmus test for Christian maturity in that particular community. And if you have not spoken in tongues, that may for others signify that you in some way have not had an authentic experience of the Holy Spirit. And you see what's happened there. Okay, in both places, people have forgotten that there are a variety of gifts. A variety. And because of this, and this is the most important part about this, y'all, a truly Spirit-filled church will be a church where each of the values, I should say, each of the gifts that is given is valued and appreciated, and none of them is idolized. None of them is turned into an idol, but they're all celebrated. Okay, gifts don't have to be a litmus test. Because why? We recognize, as we're reading, that there is one Lord. There's a variety of gifts. They all matter. And again, meaning, I just want to say it one last time, especially as we welcome new members next week, everybody matters. Every member matters. So, on this Pentecost Sunday, St. Peter's, let's pray that we would live these out, what we've just been thinking about, individually and corporately. Individually, okay, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, His Son dying on the cross for your sins, and the Holy Spirit has now come and dwelt inside of you, remember, when it comes to your gifts, don't be proud, don't be jealous, be grateful, be thankful. And then above all, can we agree that we will have the spirit that Jesus encourages the disciples to have in that, in those verses that were read for us from the beginning in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, as the disciples have gone out and are talking about the spirits responding to them. And he encourages them in essence, don't rejoice over this gift. Don't rejoice over this power, y'all, but rejoice over what? That your names are written in the book of heaven. Individually, y'all, let's press into this, and then corporately, can we be a place where there is no pressure towards having to prove ourselves through any sort of these gifts? I don't sense that now, and my prayer is that we continue to never be that sort of a place, since we're not the same anyways, but may we be a place where we encourage one another, again, to continue to steward whatever God's given us out of love for one another, all because of what God did on this day, 2,000 years ago, Pentecost Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.